This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Shao-Ik, and with me, Sharmila Gunnison. Earlier in the hour, we discussed the upcoming World Migratory Bird Day, which falls on Saturday. And so we spoke to Andrew Sebastian from EcoMai about, you know, if you're thinking of taking up bird watching, what you can do.
Yes, and we did get a rather lovely message from Ethan on that. And he says there's a board game about bird conservation called Wingspan, which is very fun and educational and great for the whole family. So perfect time to pick that one up.
Yes, and if you missed that discussion earlier, you can download the podcast by searching for, well, bird, I suppose.
Yes.
No, you can search for World Migratory Bird Day to download that podcast.
So now on to our second story. We have been asking you on Twitter. So Muda's Pause Malaysia campaign urges all political parties to stop politicking until COVID-19 is under control. And we're asking you whether you agree with this campaign. So so far, it's not too far apart. About 59% of you say no, you don't agree. While about 41% of you say you do. And now you can continue to take that poll at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Let us know why you agree or why not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this announcement was actually just made yesterday that Syed Saddiq's brand new political party, Muda, has launched a campaign called Pause Malaysia, hashtag Pause Malaysia, rather. Mm-hmm. And that is to urge politicians to cease fire and to shift their focus away from elite-level political drama to curbing the spread of COVID-19. So the political party had three demands. The first was a ceasefire among all political parties, including the opposition. And that's because they argue that the people are the ones who are suffering as a result of the current spate of power grabbing. Mm-hmm. The second demand was that no general elections be held for as long as COVID-19 continues to spread throughout the country. And finally, for the government, opposition parties and independent politicians to come together and to find a way to cooperate and make people's welfare their top priority.
Now, on the surface, this doesn't appear to be a controversial idea. In fact, it isn't even a particularly new one. Mm. In August, Anthony Look, who's the DAP organizing secretary, and he was the former minister of transport. So he called for a political ceasefire as well amid the COVID-19 crisis and the growing polarization in the country. So that ceasefire was received with little fanfare and frankly amounted to nothing much. And the politicking has simply continued. But something about Moda's Pause Malaysia campaign broke Twitter Jaya, didn't it?
Yeah. So the responses were, quite passionate, but also divisive. You know, perhaps a few angry tweets away from being a total backlash. Mm. While some people like Dato Ambika Srinivasan wholeheartedly agreed with this message, and she said that it's about time politicians stopped their petty politicking and focused on the people, many others, including some who have actually openly declared themselves as Muda supporters, did express their disappointment towards this campaign.
Yeah, just reading out some of the tweets, there's Fadia Nadwa who tweeted, and I quote here, "Pause. This is what happens when your politics are fueled by nothing but rhetoric and performativity." Strong words there. She also quoted Asata Shako's words come to mind. "Nobody in the world, nobody in history has ever gotten their freedom by appealing to the moral sense of the people who were oppressing them." Another Twitter user, Fazli Nordin, said, "Pause is not a choice. Politics is a struggle and continuous action."
Mm. Stand-up comedian Dr. Jason Leong, who has actually declared himself as hashtag Gang Muda, said, and I'm quoting, "Our nation is in peril. You don't pause during CPR. If the person doing chest compressions does it wrongly or gets tired, you replace him. You don't stop if you want to keep the patient alive. To pause is to die." Mm. And this sentiment was shared among some opposition politicians as well, such as Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil, who tweeted, "No pause."
Mm. So regardless of your thoughts on Muda and the intention of the campaign, I think there is no denying that it could have been packaged a little better. So it was after the launch that Dr. Tanusha, who's one of the founders of Muda, clarified, saying that hashtag Pause Malaysia is not for the rakyat to pause, but for the politicians to stop, and I'm quoting here, "being drama queens and prioritize the people. The rakyat should never stop questioning the leaders." Mm. I guess there is some sense that this message should have been conveyed a little bit more clearly at the launch of the campaign alongside those three demands that were made.
Yeah, and of course the question still remains, is a political ceasefire, however good the intention of it might be, something that is realistically achievable here in Malaysia.
At this time.
Yes. Yeah. So to help us unpack that, we do have on the line Dr. Bridget Welsh, political analyst and honorary research analyst at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Hello, Bridget. Welcome to the show. Let's start by talking about MUDA. Now, on the surface, a political ceasefire where all the politicians stop bickering, come together, focus on COVID-19 does seem like a good idea. So why did MUDA Malaysia's hashtag Pause Malaysia campaign receive so much flack?
I think there are three things that are at stake here. First of all, I think that in understanding a ceasefire, if we look at the history of ceasefires, you need to have the parties involved to be part of the ceasefire. And MUDA is not part of the different factors that, and actors that are actually involved in terms of the political parties. So it comes across, without the stakeholders involved as not a realistic discussion, not operational in terms of being able to implement. And I think this feeds into the sense that, you need to have pragmatic solutions that are actually viable. So this has actually negatively affected MUDA from the perspective of the fact that it's come off as not understanding how ceasefires work. The second issue is that the labeling of the word pause, interestingly enough, the same sort of phrase that Singapore used for its circuit breaker sort of discussions, right? I think the fact of the matter is that this doesn't necessarily have good imagery because it in the sense that it doesn't, MUDA is about changing, and they're actually basically suggesting that things should actually hold. So this sort of was a disconnect in their messaging and also the way that the labeling in particular has really opened themselves up to a lot of alternative criticisms from the perspective of go forward or perspective of play and other things that are there. So I think this was probably misnamed in this context. And I think the third thing is that I think that there are issues that every decision has interests and implications. And I think that this is something that probably could have been thought out a bit more carefully. I think as opposed to focusing on the macro level, I think a focus on a micro level might have been more successful. So, for example, focusing specifically on, on the by-election of Batusapi. I say, okay, in Batusapi, we should not do X, Y, and Z. We should not have a contest at this point of time, and then they could have offered sort of concrete issues in terms of improving the SOPs for elections, as opposed to picking a fight, because they've now taken a political position that affects the interests of other political actors. Which now they're going to get blowback not only on the substance of the decision, but also blowback from those who felt that this goes against their interests. Particularly yesterday, you could see Pakatan Harapan supporters coming out very strongly against this idea, and because they are under the view that government should change. And so I think that this was probably something that could have been, it's a good idea, but it was misnamed and I think not articulated in a way that was seen as, constructive from the perspective of gaining traction. It's actually hurt them in terms of reinforcing some of the things that MUDA as a movement have to be very careful about, which is that they are, their youth can be a strength, but youth can also be a weakness from the perspective of tackling the fact that people have reservations of people who have lacking in experience. And this label, I think, yesterday did not help them in that regard.
I also wonder if the timing of the campaign played a role in the pushback that it's received. Pause Malaysia was launched at the heels of Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's speech, which already drew mixed reactions from Malaysians.
No question, because I think that pausing was seen to put the current maintain the current government in power. And this is something that a lot of people felt are very angry about. There's a sense of delegitimation that's happening for Muhyiddin Yassin, who has put so much of his credibility on COVID-19. And now there are real challenges that are coming to the fore in terms of COVID-19, and particularly the issues of double standards are gaining traction and has been a real concern. So I think that this is definitely a factor in part of that. This is why perhaps timing was also an element that could have been rethought.
So putting aside the wording of the campaign and the timing at which it was launched, is a political ceasefire a good idea in general? Is this what our country needs right now?
Look, Malaysia's got deep polarization. So how do you change that polarization? I think, yes, part and parcel needs to call for dialogue and reaching across the different political divides. I think that this crisis is an opportunity for discussion, for working together, for collaboration. At the same time, I think that when you're a political party, which is different than being part of civil society, you also have to recognize that you have a particular baggage that comes with being a political party. So in terms of bringing about a sense of cooperation, reducing the political polarization, I think there is a lot of space for engagement over sets of issues and over specific concrete areas that can actually build traction. So, for example, I go back to the example of Batusapi. So Batusapi could have been a pilot case of a situation of reaching cooperation between candidates and parties to basically not have a contest. As opposed to reaching to the bigger, much higher, you can build the sense of cooperation that's necessary and becomes a win-win, as opposed to pushing for something much larger that people see as unrealistic, but maybe a good goal in itself. So you need allies in this process. And I think that no question, the focus on is not just about ceasefire, right? The focus is about realistic policies and solving problems. And this is where, you know, MUDA has been a movement that's had two things at play. One is idealism, and second is being problem solving. I think the issue about the statement yesterday was that it didn't have enough problem solving. And to bring about a ceasefire, you need people in civil society, you need other actors to move towards putting pressure on leaders that are engaged in the politicking. In particular, I think that the movement that has been that in public movement that has been calling for delaying elections, I think that thinking about elections, thinking about the how they should be carried out, whether the timing of elections is an important arena where these issues can be discussed and potentially transformed in the sense that if there's a recognition of risks as opposed to blaming one side or other and finding solutions with new SOPs or at least delaying processes, this is an area that I think would make much more sense to begin to tackle a very large elephant, but by focusing on certain issues first, as opposed to trying to say something that I think in any political process, ceasefire doesn't happen, but without those parties involved. And so you also politically need to be able to work with the actors that are polarized and they have to be concessions. So for example, you know, if you're going to work with someone like Muhyiddin Yassin's government, then they have to address some of their shortcomings. And I think that this is not something that's happening right now. So therefore, there needs to be outreach in this particular arena as well.
On that note, is a political ceasefire realistically achievable given the increasingly polarized nature of Malaysia's political landscape, as well as the infighting that's going on in both major coalitions?
No, I don't think it is. But I think at the same time, cooperation over areas of common ground are feasible. And I think it's important to identify what those areas of common ground are and to work towards those within the parameters of recognizing that there will always be differences. And I think the area and arenas of crisis, COVID, the economy, have been areas where things can be common ground. I think politically, issues of the timing of elections is another one.
And there are some who say that a ceasefire implies doing nothing or being neutral, and that by doing so, you are indirectly siding with those in power. What are your thoughts on this?
Look, the fact of the matter is that there are people who are going to be unhappy with all sides. And I think that there's not going to be a solution that everyone is going to be satisfied with any sort of set of environment. The question becomes, not necessarily who's in power but what people are doing in while they're in power and the checks that are put in place to curb the more, I think, the poor governance as well as ineffective governance. And I think these become focal points for attention because the fact of the matter is that right now a ceasefire situation only reinforces the conditions that exist. And doesn't necessarily sanction their behavior that might be seen as undermining both COVID relief, but also in terms of governance deliverables. So increasing accountability is an important mechanism that goal should be, as opposed to focusing on a ceasefire.
So, Bridget, I'd like to round off with something you touched on earlier. Will Muda's Pause Malaysia campaign cause any real impact on our political landscape beyond creating conversations on social media? After all, as of right now, Muda is a political party with just one MP.
Yeah, and I actually think it's not quite, if I understand correctly, it's not been approved as a party yet. So, but that said, I think that Muda is going to make missteps and it's going to make positive steps as it moves forward. I think this is just one of many things that Muda is doing. And I think that the changing of the dialogue is a very positive one. And the fact is you can't change dialogue and without having conversations and people that disagree. That's understandable. That's necessary. And you're putting out ideas that are trying to transform. But I think that, that Muda talks constantly about being disrupting politics. And I think that the question now that the lesson that they've learned in this particular pause and step should be that you have to also be constructive. And I think that, from moving from disruptive to constructive is a particularly difficult challenge. But I think that, in a sense, will be the assessment for Muda in terms of his ability to win political support beyond sort of the kind of support for idealism that they're trying to articulate. So I think they are making an impact, but an impact that I think will have to transform if they want to be more impactful.
Thank you so much, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, political analyst and an honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute.
Yeah, and we have been asking you on Twitter about this topic, and we're asking you whether you agree with Muda's hashtag Pause Malaysia campaign. Right now, about 60% of you say no, you don't agree, while about 40% say you do. And we've got some very interesting comments from those of you on Twitter. So Singwa says, imagine a boxing match where your opponent keeps making mistakes and you request for a pause. The next second, you're a dead man. So if people are not acting fairly or if there's double standards and you ask for a pause, it's not fair to the people who are involved. And then, let's see, we have Muhammad who says, the Malaysians taking the BFM polls are really intriguing. At one end, they want politicians to be blamed for everything. And on the other end, they want them to continue politicking. Darren shares a quote from Desmond Tutu, and that's, if you're neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Let's see, what else? Shamil Razak says, I'm afraid that the same thing that happened in Sabah will happen nationwide if politicians don't pause. This is the time for all of them to stop and work together. And then Rao Murugesh says that politicians need to work together to resolve the crisis. Simply put, if you look at the current landscape and view your opponents as enemies, nothing gets done. I think pause is about working with an opposition and not enemies in a bipartisan manner. Grow up, old politics. And a couple of other comments here from, let's see, this is a funny one. This is from Brother Ben, who says, we need the Zack Snyder treatment for Malaysian politics. Syed Saddiq's pause movement sounds like the Joss Whedon treatment. A pop culture, I know. Yep. Let's see, there's just a couple of others from... Lots of interesting comments coming up. I'm just trying to scroll through them really quickly. Siu Eng says that they voted yes, they agree with the campaign, but they also agree with the rationale of those who said no.
And you know, it's interesting. We can see quite that same, you know, on either end, mm-hmm. you know, the kinds of opinions coming in as well.
Yeah. I think, I mean, do keep those thoughts coming. You can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yep. You know, Bridget brought up a lot of great points as well, and she ended it with the point on accountability.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that whether you're nobody is for politicking, but you know, there could be the risk of people using politicking or using the term politicking to thinly veil the lack of transparency, you know, and I think you do see that coming up. And so I get the rationale of this idea that we should cease politicking in the form of cults of personality and, you know, not addressing issues, not addressing real ideas and solutions, but also the point of whether the messaging of this campaign, what exactly is this campaign doing beyond asking for these three demands? What are the platforms that they are offering?
Yeah, and I wonder whether that's something that's quite particular and specific to almost the Muda ethos itself, right? It's youth-driven. It got a lot of its traction from social media. Mm. It got a lot of its support from this sort of communication. And I think we're kind of, and Bridget kind of alluded to this as well, we're seeing the opposite side of that, because while it can be very powerful, one of the downsides of communicating through things like memes or tweets mm-hmm. or just sharing posts mm-hmm. is a lack of nuance and a lack of explanations
and debate
and so I think I feel like that their heart was in the right place. But when you put up a post and you call a campaign hashtag pause Malaysia, there are lots of layers which people don't understand. And most of this, I think it's not surprising that most of the pushback has also come in the form of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting that for a party that's relatively new as well, that the same tools that helps them can also sometimes backfire.
Yeah,
them. Yeah,
yeah. And also, if the idea and their supporters and the audience that they are speaking to are young people, don't I suppose underestimate that young people can be part of more substantive debate that goes beyond the social media platforms.
Yeah, I've seen some great threads on Twitter, actually, about explaining why they don't agree with Pause Malaysia and why it may not be fair, for instance. And I think those are really worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an interesting thing for me. I don't know yet quite where I fall, but I found the whole unfolding of this quite interesting.
Yeah, and I think it will be pretty organic. And if the responses are anything to go by, it's something that the politicians who are watching this can take from and, you know, continue to engage.
And learn from.
Yeah, that's right. Keep your thoughts coming in. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That's all the time that we have right now. Do drop by our Facebook page as well, though. That's BFM The Bigger Picture, where you can drop us a message there. If you missed any part of the Daily Digest, you can download our podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news is Front Row, and Shamla will be speaking to Sophia Shung, who's the gallery director of Suma Orientalis, and she'll be speaking to Sophia about a joint exhibition called Art Gallery Weekend 2020 right here, right now. And that's an exhibition that's sort of like shared out with 5 galleries in KL. So you'll want to check out that conversation. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.